the bye week. Had a tough one on Saturday. I got a four-quarter game that didn't go our way at the end. I know that our guys are disappointed, our players, coaches, fans, everybody. So Sunday was a tough day. Monday we let them have by NCAA the day off. Brought them back over yesterday, kind of relived some of the game, pointed out the positives, obviously trying to correct the negatives. Didn't see anything on film that can't be corrected. We got a lot of new faces on offense that, unfortunately, we got to deal with some bumps in the road to get to where we want to be and ultimately get us some wins. Mm-hmm. I'll give credit to TCU, a good football team that proved their worth. So we'll take this bye week. We're a little bit healthier than we were the week before, so I'm excited to have guys extra practice out there running around, getting timing involved, all the other good things, and get some good quality work this week, watch the world play on Saturday, and then jump into game week preparation for A&M and get a chance to go over to Jerry's World, a very special year in that program with Jerry being honored into the Hall of Fame and all that goes with that. So a lot of different variables, but one our team's excited about.
Versus Matt Jones of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Good morning, Brett. I wonder what this week is like with your field goal kicker situation, and what in particular do you say to Cole Hedlund after a performance like Saturday?
Yeah, so twofold. What we'll do is when we do field goals each day, it's either labeled offensive priority or defensive priority, and we'll go offensive priority both days, which just means we're having our number one field goal unit out there. Today I have scripted basically six kicks at the beginning of practice, six kicks at the end, somewhat similar to what we've done, but we're going to have the two kickers and Connor Limpert and Blake Mazza go with the ones and have them compete. Cole will get some reps with the twos. We'll do a two-week competition, and whoever has the best numbers at that time will be the guy to case against A&M. As far as Cole, obviously, Saturday was a tough day for everybody, and I know I knew people were going to write their own stories on what said or what not said, and then Albert and Cole on Sunday, I was concerned about him and his personal well-being, and had a conversation with him about where we at, where we stood, and where we're going to move forward, and then asked if he was doing okay. I think everything's under control in that regard. Obviously, people can say a lot of things, but he's the one that has to live it and be through it. So he's a strong kid, great kid. I've been his biggest supporter there is for the last 3 years, and continue to do as best we can to make him great.
You use all of your assistant coaches to coach special teams, but when it comes to punters and kickers in particular, who is in charge of coaching those guys? And do you have any GAs or grad assistant or analyst on your team that have a kicking background?
You know, the kickers are a little bit unique in the fact that many of the things they've done since becoming a specialist are formed before they ever get here. There's kicking specialists that really, there's two or three in the entire country that everybody kind of falls into those categories. It's very unique. They've developed their style, their performance, and you try to enhance them. So a lot of these guys, their biggest coaching windows take place since I've been a head coach during the out of season. They've worked with these coaches that they consider kind of their kicking specialist. All of our kickers and punters go to those guys during the spring, during the summer. By NCAA rules, they've been able to work at their camps and do certain things. And then during the course of the season, a lot of it's about management. As a case in point, like I brought up with Cole's situation, a very efficient number-wise during practice, but during the game it hasn't happened the way that it has in practice. So the disconnection really becomes, you know, when the fans are there or when the crowd is enhancing. So it's a little bit of a combination of all those things to get tied together.
Tape that maybe that you didn't see with your eyes on Saturday that kind of told you the story of the game?
There's always, you know, we believe strongly in what we consider what are our three keys. We do it offense, defense, we do it for every special teams, and we do it for all the positional groups, things that kids can kind of feast their eyes on during the course of the week, build your game plan around, and when those things are met, we have success. When they fall short, of those keys on Saturday, then it usually results in either poor play or defeat. And we had to keep in mind that it wasn't all negative. We had a lot of positive things. It was a game I don't think a lot of people expected to be a 14-7 game going into the last final minutes of the game. I don't think people really expected that for a variety of different reasons. So to get to that point, I thought our defense did a lot of good things. They kept bringing ringing the bell, came up with some big plays, kept answering the bell, and for the most part did some really, really good things. What they didn't do is, we lined up and got ourselves in position to play. That was a change from really the last couple seasons. So I was happy with that. We missed too many tackles, and then ultimately, you know, gave up those two scores at the end of the game. You don't want to give up, never want to give any up, but you understand the game. Offensively, we really had stressed what we call the 12% rule, which is a combination of playing cleanly with penalties, no drop balls, no turnovers, all the things that we factor into being successful before the ball is snapped, and then also just taking care of the football. And we were at a higher percentage point there than we wanted, so that was a direct factor. And then on special teams, you know, in two of the four units, we veered from the plan that we had seen take place during practice. So, you know, the days after the game, had a lot of guys reach out, coach, I'm going to do this better, we're going to do this better, I'm going to get my group to this better, and we're going to be this better. And I made a big point to our guys, listen, I don't need anybody to be Superman on Saturday. I just need to be the guy that I see during the week. We had practiced so well Thursday and Friday. I think our guys were very, very confident in the plan and the way it was going about. But Saturday, there were definitely some areas of the game and some players of the game. And as coaches, we have to take ownership as well that we just didn't perform at the level we had practiced, and that ultimately brought failure.
You had mentioned on Saturday that there may be a thought that maybe you trim down the number of guys that are in the rotation at receiver. Has there been any movement on that during the course of this week?
Yeah, well, we actually will go out to practice this afternoon and tomorrow. We've had limited workouts with them on the field until this point. So, the good news is some guys have gotten healthier. Jared's been a little bit limited in his practice time ever since, you know, fall camp. But he's full go, full clear now for practice, and that has not been the case. So, to get him back full speed to practice, it'll be very, very good. And then what we've tried to do is limit the wide receivers and the tight ends that are working with Austin strictly to be with him, so he's not throwing to a bunch of second and third string guys that aren't getting the reps on Saturdays on game day. So we've been in a little bit of a difficult spot because some of our better guys haven't been able to practice, but that's cleaning up with health issues now. And then just bottom line, you know, we do going into this year. Our top five wide receivers from a year ago, four of the five are gone. I believe three of them are on NFL rosters right now as we speak. The only guy returning with any significant experience was Jay Redd. And then in addition to that, Jeremy Sprinkle, obviously a tight end. The next highest guy was Austin Cantrell, and then Jeremy Patton and C.J. O'Grady, who hadn't really played a lot. So in that, with that being said, it's going to be those positions and the game speed element that we got to get better at and be able to perform a little better on Saturdays.
Thank you, Brent.
Yep.
This is Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.
What's up, Brent?
Just from a line standpoint overall, just your evaluation of the line play coming out of there, what needs to improve going forward?
O-line, D-line, or both?
Well, both, but O-line especially.
Okay. Yeah, offensive line from right tackle over. Johnny Gibson actually played fairly well. He gave up the pressure early. It was detrimental. It seems like he's got one of those in the first quarter in the games, but we got to get him locked into pass pro a little bit better. But in the run game, was pretty content. At right guard, Ty Clary started his second game as a college football player and was very, very surprising in game one. I think two followed up with that. I think he obviously, there's some things he's got to do better, but we're going to try to give him as much pre-snap help as we can. To get where he needs to be. Two other guys inside, Frank and Yelda, you know, just had several NFL scouts in together again and just talked about, you know, just Frank and the level he's playing at. It's pretty impressive. Yelda has come leaps and bounds from a year ago, but a guy that's in his second year playing O-line, but he's playing pretty efficiently and doing a lot of really good things at left tackle. I think Colt Jackson's the guy that we got to really take to another level, whether we bring Johnny Gibson over, whether we sub Paul Ramirez in there and give him a little bit of a spell. I don't know if we want him taking all 70 snaps. You know, we might be a guy that we piecemeal in there a little bit. But Jake Rawson came in a big package, did some good stuff. Zach Rogers and Jalen Merrick. So we'll continue to massage that during this week. I thought our defensive line played a lot of bodies, which is good. Probably need to even play more. They had good depth. We used a rotation system that got the numbers equaled out, and again, other than the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, played some pretty good football.
Thanks, Brett.
Yep.
All of our time, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take.